On Kiss 92, we share a love for beautiful things. We talk about art, about music, and then there's gemstones.
Maddie's favorite.
Yes. I think most ladies' favorite, right?
Yeah.
And in the spirit of Jewel Fest that is taking place right now, we have with us a Gublin gemologist and trainer, Yvonne Chu from Hong Kong.
Good morning.
And also a legendary jeweler, Heinz Meyer. Thank you for coming.
Good morning, Singapore, and thank you for having me.
No, good to see you guys.
Our pleasure.
Okay, so, tell our Kiss fans why collect gemstones, or should they be collecting gemstones? Mm.
That's a good question. I think everybody should. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're human heritage.
Okay. Yeah.
If you look back at ancient times, people were collecting bones and gemstones long before they were even painting murals on the wall. It's part of human culture.
There's this guy, Warren Buffett, right? He's known as the world's greatest investor, and he said he won't invest in gold because gold has no real practical value. But don't you think that's bull? I mean, the practical value is that it's beautiful, and the same thing applies to gemstones, right? People will always value them because they're so pretty.
I think what Warren Buffett was referring to was more or less like bullions, like it's impractical to have a heavy piece of
to hold
junk
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But on gemstones, it's totally different. You can wear it. Your wife can wear it. Everybody in the family can wear it.
That's right.
But here's my difficulty, okay? With gold, you know exactly how much it's going to cost per ounce at any given time. You can't say the same for a gemstone. So how would anyone kind of begin to value a gemstone when he or she is looking to buy a piece?
He's the news guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
Well, first of all, I would say after the stock market crashed, we could just shelf that argument because nobody knows the value of gold.
Mm-hmm.
All stocks go up and down.
Yep.
And as much as you can follow them in the newspaper in little increments, but nobody knows the real story.
Mm-hmm.
And people invested in the Lehman Brothers and they lost their shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what's wrong with an investment that you cannot track as diligently as you could stocks or gold?
At least this one, you can wear it and be, you know.
But for a rookie, how would you begin to say, okay, I'm willing to pay $1,000 for this 1 carat or 0.5 carat? I mean, where do you begin, you know, assessing the value of a piece that you really like?
Well, first of all, you just said that you really like
it. Yep.
So that's already the first step.
Okay, fair enough.
You like the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then, get a little bit of education. You can read in books, and there's forum now on the internet. It's really easy to obtain all those informations.
Yep.
And just like a wine connoisseur, it starts with a first sip. Get your feet wet. Get a little bit deeper into the matter. And
isn't there the question of rarity as well? Because whatever that is rare, it's valued based on its rarity, right? Mm.
Absolutely. In fact, in the last year, we've seen a very heavy rise in popularity of gemstones because there's been new gem deposits being discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a lot of rare gems being discovered, like the new spinels, the Paraiba and Tanzanite. That's really caught everyone's attention. And they are beautiful to have and, you know, rare enough to collect and to pass along to your kids.
What are more and more people collecting these days?
Well, you know, with the popularity, I think, of the sapphires and the rubies, actually, it's actually stimulated more interest in other gemstones as well, such as the tanzanite, which looks like the sapphire, and also spinel, which resembles a ruby. So these are actually very exciting gemstones that we're seeing a lot of them at the Jewel Fest.
You know what I think a problem is, though? Tanzanite and spinel, it doesn't sound very exotic. Like when I hear ruby, diamond, emerald, it's so evocative. Tanzanite doesn't inspire me. Can't they give these gems some better names?
Well, I have to tell you, though, you know, one of the most important spinels we've seen is actually on the Imperial State Crown that Queen Elizabeth is wearing.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, I'd say in terms of importance, I think it's right up there.
But
you can't judge it by its name.
But are women now familiar with all these sort of different gems that aren't like rubies and emeralds and all
that? Because in Asia, you know, what we found is that most people just know diamonds, rubies, sapphires and emeralds, and any other gemstone, they have no idea.
Yeah.
And they don't really value it because they don't know where to place them in terms of, you know, hierarchy. Of gemstones, you know?
You'll be surprised, actually. I think the ladies here in Singapore especially are very gem savvy. You know, they come to Jewel Fest, to events like these, where they see a lot of really nice, important stones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they learn a lot. And then after a while, they start getting interested. And then they start, you know, investing for their, you know, for their own wardrobe. For the children.
Is there a really hot gem right now? Like one that's sort of like, is there like trendy gems? And what is sort of the hottest one right now?
What is flying off your shelves? Yeah, okay. So to speak.
What is flying off the shelves is Paraiba in good quality, just like Yvonne mentioned.
Yeah. This is the rarest of all tourmalines,
that
right?
That is the rarest of all tourmaline. And in total production, probably the rarest of all gemstones right now.
We're talking about how much per carat for like a fine Paraiba.
Fine gem investment quality. $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 a carat is possible.
Wow.
I have to ask you though, Stefan, a lot of this was presumably driven by new wealth in this part of the world and elsewhere. Has it crossed into the mainstream? Yvonne, you were alluding to it, but do you see a lot of, like, I guess, ordinary women and people really buying into gemstones and looking
like
at them?
Like the masses, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, in gemstones, yes. In Paraiba, for example, there wouldn't be enough to make it a mainstream stone.
Is that right?
It's such a small...
Oh. So some stones are so rare that they'll just never get in the mainstream. There's not enough of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Unlike diamonds, say.
Unlike diamonds or unlike ruby sapphire, there is a very big production.
Right.
But in a lot of more exotic gemstones like Tsavolite from the Tsavo National Park in Africa, or Paraiba tourmaline, spinels from Burma, fine spinels, there's a very small supply.
Here's the thing, right? These unknown gemstones can actually be rarer than the very, very expensive and well-known gemstones, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, in fact, you need, you know, three properties. You need them to be beautiful, to be rare, as well as durable. And in fact, we're seeing actually at Gublin, because we do a lot of testing of gemstones, is led by the rubies and the sapphires. And the gems that are getting popular are the stones that are similar, actually, in appearance to these mainstream stones.
I want to know, is there a strong subjective element to judging the worth of a stone? Like, can you just look at a stone and it just has kind of a magic to it and it's like, oh, that is so amazing. You know what I mean? Or is it, like, very scientific how you judge a gemstone?
Yeah. Well, definitely when we talk about color gemstones, it's all about the color.
Color first, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Then after color, what do you look at? Is it clarity or cut?
I think to the ladies, you have to say size.
No. In case of gemstones, it matters.
So much for that saying.
But for you, would you go for like the quality of the gemstone or size?
Color is the most important, so you always look at the color first. Mm-hmm. After that, you know, I think size matters as well as the clarity.
Because it could be the finest quality, but if nobody can see it, there's no point, right? If it's a speck, like a booger,
okay.
There's no point.
I've got a personal question. Maddie Barber made and sold this ring to me.
You bugger.
And I want to ask you, does that look like a nice stone to you or not?
Absolutely.
Can you tell?
He's a very, very, very smart
You guys didn't look very close.
I'm suggesting for you to bring it to Jewel Fest to our chief gemologist.
And she'll be able to take a look?
We're doing the verbal consultation at the booth for free.
I want to see if I got ripped off.
Yeah, this could be the start of a firm friendship or the end of one.
That's right.
Okay, last question. We get asked this, or we've heard this question asked a lot by Singaporean buyers, right? Or Asian buyers in general. Is there a resale value? So should they be asking something like that when they're buying a piece of jewelry or a gemstone?
Yeah.
I'll say this, you know, no two gemstones will ever look alike. And if you see something and you love it, and you miss the opportunity, I think you'll never be able to find it again.
Yeah.
And never at the same price.
Mm.
So I think that's the value of the gemstone.
It's not how much you're going to sell it for, because you don't buy it to sell it unless you're a jeweler.
Do you guys get personally connected to any stones? And do you have some that you just keep forever?
There is in every family, I guess, of a jeweler. There is stones that are really not for sale.
Right.
And they might not necessarily have to be the biggest or the most expensive. They just have a story about grandma or grand-grandma who fell in love with that stone. And somehow the spirit of that lives on in that stone, and you don't want to sell it.
That's beautiful.
Last question, Stefan, because I know that your great-grandfather, or is it your great-great-grandfather, was a gemstone cutter.
Yes.
And he actually cut for Harry Winston,
yep.
Like the man himself, right?
Wow. Yep.
So did he pass down anything from that time? Like, what is the most precious thing in your vault? Like, what gemstone?
And where is your vault?
I want to know.
And what's the combination?
Yeah, absolutely.
What stone is that? I want to know.
My most personal treasure is a little 2-carat demantoid garnet that
demantoid
my grandfather.
Yeah, the one I told you.
I have
about.
No idea what you're talking about.
The one that you couldn't pronounce. Oh, remember?
Okay. Demantoid garment.
Right.
Demantoid, not a garment. A garnet.
Garnet.
It's a green garnet from Russia. It was mined around the turn of the century in the Ural Mountains, and it was used a lot in Art Deco and Art Nouveau jewelry at the turn of the century.
So cool.
Then the mines pretty much got exploited. There's very little stones on the market.
Mm.
And again, it's not very pretty, it's not very big, but it's for my grandfather.
That's
so
beautiful.
It
is it set in a ring or a pendant or anything?
No,
just have the stone?
I still haven't decided what to do with it.
When it's so precious, it's so hard to decide on something, right?
Exactly.
That's
Yvonne,
cool.
What's in your vault?
In my vault, I think my all-time favorite is the emerald. That's just my birthstone. I'm born in May. But it's also the spinel now, I think.
Mm.
It's just the popularity of it. And it's the fire of the stone that you just fall in love with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. People after my own heart.
You guys read The Silmarillion? J.R.R. Tolkien. It's about these elves obsessed
okay,
with
that's
jewelry.
Okay,
thank
you
book.
So much. You can catch all the jewelry experts and lots of bling at Jewel Fest. And again, that was legendary jeweler Heinz Meyer, along with graduate gemologist and trainer from Gublin Academy, Yvonne Chu, in KISS 92.
That was
thanks,
great.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.